turn your attention to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, starting in verse number 11. Jeremiah 31, verse number 11. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. Amen. For I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul or satisfy a craving of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Talking about the church here, the young and the old. And God is able to satisfy us, whether we have much or whether we have little. He can take care of the enemy who is stronger than us.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the church. Bless the preaching of the word tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What God is saying here is a prophecy of what would eventually become the church, you and I. Redeemed us from the ransom himself, from the hand of the enemy, so that we can all flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Every kind of person from every walk of life, young and old, all in the same place, experiencing the goodness of God and the satisfaction of living for God. Through the wheat, the wine, and the oil, or the word, the blood, and the spirit. So we can rejoice and dance in our worship of God. God turned our mourning into joy and will comfort us in every situation that we are in. That we could be satisfied with the goodness of God, satisfaction that this world couldn't possibly bring.
Amen.
Amen. Save your money, save your time, save your effort. It's not outside these walls. It's God that brings the satisfaction to every one of us. I'm afraid for people who have been in Pentecost for a while that sometimes they slip back to the leeks and the onions. You know, oh, Egypt wasn't so bad after all. Maybe we should go back and comfort ourselves. There's nothing for us there, folks. God rescued us so we could rescue others. Not out of duty or even out of intellect, but because of our own joy in being saved. I'm excited that I am saved. I have a joy of the Lord because of what he's done for me, and that joy should propel me in order to talk to somebody else.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, but he's a doctor. No, no. That doctor needs God as bad as anybody else in this world. And why should we hesitate? Because he has a greater education? It's not true. Amen. The thrill that comes when we open our mouth for Jesus. Proverbs 11 and 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. In other words, the reward of those who partake of righteous living and winning souls and talking to people in a continued renewing of excitement and life in the church, and they're always excited about what God is doing. Yes, it is a responsibility, but you don't know the joy that comes until you actually do what God wants us to do. It's still alive, even after years in the church. Brother Hefner, Amen. They continue to eat of the tree of the life, like it was in the Garden of Eden. Only the tree of life that is in the garden, God talked about in Jeremiah 31, is people who have a ministry of winning the lost. And before you shut me off, it's not my job. The Bible says that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you to become witnesses unto me. Not this, we can just dance and shout. It's a wonderful thing to worship God. But there's a power within us that says we've got to spread this news to somebody else. Those little cards that Brother Hefner used, we have literally hundreds of those cards that are given out all over the place. And you never know who is going to receive one of those cards and is looking for something more. Glory to God. There is just not the life there if we can't open our mouth. We can get burned out of ministering to saved people. I know what I'm talking about. It can get to the place where there just isn't the anointing, there isn't the joy, but God give us new life every time we reach out to people who haven't heard this message. It's like we get a transfusion from God because we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. We've seen these little tests where chickens are all put in a group, and there are certain doors, you know, that they can go through. And when they get the right stimuli or even a treat, they always go to those doors, always. You know what? And God gives us an excitement and a revival and a renewal and a refreshing every time we open our mouth to those who are around us. Amen. What is God saying? That's what I want you to do. Yes, that's exciting. Listen, we all know the obligation that we have to witness. It's the reason God gave us the Holy Ghost. It is easier to minister to the saved. You know, everybody wants a ministry within the church. We aren't rejected, and we're always in a place where people love us. But talking to the lost poses a threat to us. Perhaps we could be rejected, or perhaps we could be ridiculed on the job or with our family. Yet there must be some discomfort before someone will get saved. There was in my life. There has to be in everyone's life. Why are you talking to me? I'm not excited about what you're saying. But if they just get a little taste of the Word of God in the presence of God, you become their hero. You become their mother, if you will. Amen. But the life it brings to you and those that are converted is just absolutely awesome and can't be duplicated by talking to saved people. Love talking to the church. It's wonderful. But we've heard messages over and over and over, and it just doesn't seem to bring the excitement that talking to somebody about God who hasn't heard about the oneness, hasn't heard about baptism, hasn't heard about the marvelous, miraculous things that God can do for them. Would you turn to Luke, the fourth chapter, please? Very familiar scripture, verse number 14. Luke chapter 4, 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all of the region about, round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." In the church of the living God, not much can be accomplished without the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. It said, "The Lord redeemed Jacob from the hand of him that was stronger than he." Human resources and talents won't succeed in what only God can do through the Spirit. We need to rely more on the Spirit of God and the anointing of God, more than our intellect, more than our Bible knowledge. Hallelujah. It's through anointed preaching that people are brought into the kingdom of God, and the holy oil allows the word to siphon from the head to the heart. If you don't have the Spirit of God that rests upon you, it's just information that gets in your cranium and never siphons down into their feelings or heart to cause them to do something with the information that they've just received. That's why we need to pray. We need to fast. We need to get the unction of God upon us. Amen. And once people respond with their heart to the gospel, there's a need for healing in their life in order to stay saved. So people come in and they get saved. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. But that's not the end of it. Now what we have to do is condition them to help them heal their life. I'm not talking about just the physical healing, but there's all kinds of emotional problems that people have that bring into the church. And unless those emotional problems are taken care of, well, they will not stay in the church. Amen. Someone came to me before a service and said, "You know, Pastor, I'm still struggling with, well, does God really love me? Does God really accept me the way, you know, I am?" And finally, God showed me beyond a shadow of a doubt that he really, really loves me. Now, how can someone be in the church for years and not really understand that God really, really loves them, you see? They need healing from hurts of the past, bruises, and shattered spirits, broken hearts, all by the Spirit of God. The heavy load of being held captive by habits must be relieved through the delivering power of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not a 12-step program. It's not, you know, getting off of some kind of program. It's getting into the presence of God that all of a sudden I'm free. Can't tell you how many people over the years I've seen walk in, a hopeless alcoholic or drug addict or so possessed by the lust of the flesh. And in just an instant, God's Spirit touches them and they go through no withdrawals. But it's getting into the Spirit. Their eyes must be open to the truth of God's word through the Spirit. They need to be set free from their past to have liberty to worship God in spirit and in truth. So if you haven't been delivered, even though you have the plan of salvation, you haven't been delivered from all of those things that you went through years ago, you'll never get to that point where you have the freedom to really enjoy your salvation. Hallelujah. That can only be done by the anointed presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our words and actions cannot deliver like the Spirit of God can deliver. Amen. We major in the Spirit of God in this church. Hallelujah. I love the word of God, I'll tell you. But, you know, there's preaching in churches that just don't believe in the Holy Ghost. And so it's going over the same book report over and over and over again. And people feel so frustrated because they don't feel delivered or feel saved, you see. Perhaps the heaviest weight that any person carries is what Jesus said in Luke 4 and 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to witness God loves you and wants to reconcile himself to you. I would say that 80 to 90% of the people who walk into our church do not feel accepted. Not because we're not a friendly church, it's just that they haven't felt that delivering power of the Holy Ghost in their life as yet. This verse might also be illustrated as the year of acceptance with the Lord's amnesty, if you will, walk in, and everything is going to be erased. You're now free from all of that burden, you see. Or a year when men may find acceptance with the Lord, and that can only be done through the Spirit of God. Amen. Everyone coming to God struggles to some degree under the weight of feeling rejected in one way or the other. And somehow that has to be abolished in their life before they can have a full freedom and joy in God. There is condemnation that people deal with because of their past, and the enemy of the soul wants to renew and revive that which has already been forgiven. Isn't it amazing? You come into church 10 years later, you're still worried about, did God really forgive me about that thing? Because, you know, every once in a while, that thought comes into your brain and remembers that which you have done a long time ago, and then you're wondering, well, did God really forgive me? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, the third chapter, please. First Peter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection or the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So what I need to have, not only for church services, but everyday life, is to have a clear conscience towards God. Not feeling condemnation because of commission or omission. But God loves us so much that he takes us by the hand and he wants to take us through life to really enjoy the relationship with God, but also enjoy the relationship with one another within the church. It's really where we have our compassion. And that's why people back away from our invitations from time to time, because they just don't feel like they could be accepted, not only by God, but accepted by the church of the living God, because we look different, we act different, and we obviously have a great relationship with God, and they're looking at us and thinking, I don't fit in there. Hallelujah. The words of Jesus proclaims that although a person may feel rejected, the God of creation has proclaimed his acceptance to them by his Spirit. So when they walk in this place, even though they feel that they're perhaps not accepted by God, when they feel the Spirit of God on them, it reassures them, hey, you're in the right place. I am taking you under my wing and I love you.
Amen.
Amen. Just as you are. You know, we don't clean fish before we bring them in the boat. Amen. Amen. Now, God won't leave us just as he found us, because acceptance is not the same as approval. So he accepts people. Love you, come on to the altar, come on, I love you. But now I'm going to put you in the process of approval, you know. And there are some churches, they feel that they're going to build a greater congregation by come as you are and stay as you are. God loves you just the way you are. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's not the truth. God accepts you, but he wants to groom you. He wants to purify you. He wants to make you into something that is the image of him. Every type of person will walk into spirit-filled church services and feel that anointing oil that Jesus talked about in Luke, the fourth chapter. But even though they know they need help because of bruises and abuses and desertions and rejections from all of those people that have been with them, sometimes carrying a lifetime of it because parents didn't say the right things or teachers didn't say the right things. But before they can be saved by the preaching, broken hearts have to be healed, deliverance from habits and set free. They need to know that they are accepted by God and accepted by those of God's family. One of the greatest obligations that we have as a church is to make sure a visitor knows that we accept them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I got my salvation. I'm going to the altar. That's great. Well, sometimes I wonder if we shouldn't do more praying at home and more ministering in church. You see, when a visitor shows up, somebody's got to show themselves friendly unto them that, hey, you're welcome here. We like you. We were just like you. Hallelujah. No matter what life has dealt them, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This Sunday is the acceptable time. The bandage must be removed and the wounds cleansed and the terrible sting eliminated by the soothing oil of the Holy Ghost, and the people of God, just like the Good Samaritan, have to pay for the healing of those who have been bruised and left on the side of the road. Now, after Jesus called Lazarus back from the dead, 4 days, the Bible says, he stinketh. Roll away the stone. I've got more plans for you. You know what? I haven't been really feeling spiritual for the last 4 years. Roll away the stone. I can bring you back to life. Hallelujah. Don't just hang on until Jesus comes. Get involved in the church. Get involved in your ministry. There is no time in my life I feel more alive in the Spirit than when I'm teaching a group of people who don't know about God. I love preaching the Word of God, but there is just absolutely no comparison. And there are some who think, man, if I could ever get a pulpit ministry, that is not the best thing in the world. It's doing what Brother Hefner did, talking to somebody who all of a sudden said, you know, I really always wanted a Bible study. Hallelujah. So when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he instructed those standing nearby to loose him from his grave clothes. Lazarus was given life by the word of Jesus. Think about it. We were given life by the word of Jesus, but God entrusted his friends to give him liberty to enjoy life by unwrapping the grave clothes and saying, you are now free. So it's the word going forth, and then it's friends, people within the congregation say, hey, come on with me. Last night my wife and I took a couple out to dinner, and they haven't been in our church for probably 6 years, but they're having some difficulty, and You know, they needed someone who said, we're going to get through this. It's going to be all right. And this morning I saw them at the altar with their arms around each other. There wasn't anything that got me more excited knowing that someone helped them reconcile not only to themselves but unto God. The tears streaming down their face. I have to invest more. You have to invest more in those situations. And it just brings a revival to us. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18 says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation or restoration. It is our ministry. Who's everybody's? It is everybody's responsibility to take off the bandages of others and allow the flow of God's oil to them, Good Samaritan, and give them liberty. Without that healing and liberty in the spirit, they just won't last. They just won't last. Amen. So ministering goes beyond just getting them in the water and filled with the Holy Ghost. 3.5 years, Jesus ministered to 12 men, poured himself into them. They still didn't get it right, you know. And God was continuing to minister to them long after he left. In Jeremiah 31 and 12, we read that the redeemed of the Lord shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. There has to be a flow in the church of unity, that we all have one purpose, we all have one goal. The whole reason for the church is to bring those who are outside into the church. Amen. Flow together to the goodness of the Lord through the wheat, the wine, and the oil, or the word, the blood, and the spirit. And their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. All because they flowed together by the word, the blood, and the spirit. So God wants his church to be like a well-watered garden, no sorrow, but full of the Lord's goodness, no sadness. But that can only happen when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach the word, apply the blood in baptism, and apply the oil for the healing of every situation that you have in your life. The word, the blood, and the oil. I want you to see something interesting in this verse. The word oil in Jeremiah 31 and 12 is not the ordinary Hebrew word for oil. It's not the same oil as used to anoint the articles of furniture or the instruments of praise. It's not the oil that the apothecary put together to anoint the brazen altar and laver and all of the articles of furniture in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Not the same oil used to anoint the high priest in their daily duties. No, this oil used to save, heal, and restore. Those are all good purposes within the church. This oil was the very best oil. The best of the best, the purest of the pure. I've said this before, it's called the Yitzer oil. We could call it extra, extra virgin oil. It was the most expensive. It was the purest. This is the oil that was derived from a single crushing of the olive, not several crushings, not mixing with inferior olives. It is the finest, the purest, the most precious oil, the oil that costs the most, probably smelled the best. Now, God's anointing is on every ministry within this church. It's obvious in the music ministry. It's obvious in the singing, in the support ministries, in caring and giving and teaching of Sunday school and children's ministries and prison ministries and all of the ministries within the church. There has to be an anointing of God's Spirit on everything, or it's not going anywhere. And that's, you know, back in the Old Testament in Exodus 28, the oil signified a separation for the ministry. So the only one who could have oil on them was the high priest, Aaron, and his sons. In fact, the Bible said that it was not to be put on people at all, not until we get to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And so we don't anoint the keyboards and the drums and all of the other ministries. God's saying, anoint the ones who uses the keyboard and uses the drums and uses the guitar, you see? That's what's important, and we see that happening. God's best oil, the same oil that Jesus spoke of in Luke 4 and 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We're talking about the best, the purest. It's our oil. To preach the gospel, that was the purpose, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach that they are accepted by me. Someone has to feel that glorious, pure oil touch them when they walk into a Pentecostal church for the first time, just like I experienced, and most every one of you, knowing surely God is in this place. God must love me for me to be able to feel what I'm feeling right now. Amen. See, you can study until your brains fall out, and it still isn't going to make the impact that a touch of God's Spirit has on people who walk in here. It's the purest, most precious oil, the best of the best, because we're the sons of oil. That's what the Bible says. Those with a purity of motives and an excellent skill in the Word of God. Now, if I'm on the job for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, and I still don't know what I'm doing, something wrong here. If you've heard hundreds of sermons and listened to Bible studies on Wednesdays, hallelujah, and you're still not capable or skillful, then there's something wrong. If you're still not motivated to do what the Word of God says, there's something wrong. Amen. I love you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, you know what? You need to get all of the joy that God has for you. And it's not going to happen by just showing up for church. God told us this morning that He has a great revival that is coming to this church, but it's not going to happen until we become revivalists. We get excited about snatching one more out of the fire and bringing them to the house of God. Hallelujah. With motives, I need to find somebody. Wake up in the morning and say, God, lead me to somebody. Those whom the Lord does not have to crush over and over again in order to use them, but have a tender heart, yielding to His voice, eager to serve God and to restore those that are around us. I'm on a new job. I need to look for somebody. God obviously put me here for a reason, to talk to somebody. I've got to go to the doctor. I've got to go to the chiropractor. I've got to go. They're everywhere, folks. There's one thing there is no shortage of, and that's sinners. Amen. Amen. As we minister to people with a pure motive of reconciliation, a channel will be opened from heaven through which that best oil, the Yitzhar oil, can flow through you. an anointing that never happens on this platform, that never happens from this pulpit. It is a pure anointing. You know it. There is a feeling, a flow of God. All of a sudden, scriptures come to your mind. All of a sudden, it seems like you're not in charge of your thoughts or your speaking. And God's saying, I'm going to use you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. Into the hurting heart of people, he has declared be the acceptable time in their life. I was 30 years old before I came into the church, and I don't know if I could be saved before I was 30. You know? Going in different directions, had different motives, have different, goals in my life. But then all of a sudden, God arrested my attention, and thank God I listened. Thank God I gave him some attention, you know. It's not by human power or might, but by God's Spirit that people are made whole. It's not what a person thinks that counts. It's whether or not he allows God to move in his heart. I can't tell you how many times I thank God that I had an open heart to the things that I heard and felt. Because there are hundreds and hundreds of people who have walked in here, felt and heard, and they walked away. Whether or not he allows God to move in his heart, in their heart, by the leading of the Spirit, it's the only way God's going to have a church. And that's why we are so particular about what we look like on this platform. You know, I've been criticized because I don't make invitations open to other churches, but I've spent almost 30 years trying to get a church ready for the Lord. And there are others who don't feel that same way. They don't feel that the Holy Ghost has separated them onto a ministry. But each and every one of us are separated by the Holy Ghost for a special anointing and ministry of God. Hallelujah. I've said this before. Some of you may have heard it, but about 10 years ago, there was a coalition of pastors that went to Washington, D.C. And we had a set meeting with then-President George Bush. And we were all excited. I think there were about 8 of us. And we took a tour of the Capitol, took a tour of the White House. And then the day that we were to meet with President Bush, there was an uprising in Georgia. We're talking about the country. Russia was invading them, and so the whole meeting was canceled, and he sent somebody else in to minister to us and told us a lot of the things that President Bush at that time, praying in the Oval Office, had an entourage of people who were literally filled with the Spirit of God. And most people believe that he was filled with the Holy Ghost as well. So, you know, we did our thing, and then we went on to the airport to catch our flight back to Milwaukee. And when the plane came in to take us back to Milwaukee, one of the stewardesses were injured by a beverage cart because of a turbulence. So they were short a stewardess flight attendant, and so they couldn't take us on the plane because that was the law. So the plane took off without us, you know. So now we're desperate to try to get another plane back to Milwaukee, and they couldn't do that until 3 o'clock in the morning. And so by about 11:30, we get to a hotel, and we get about 2 hours sleep, and our luggage, we have to pick up a whole deal. everybody is just a little bit disappointed because it didn't happen the way we thought it was supposed to happen. So we finally get on the plane. It's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And, I'm thinking, God, let me sit next to somebody who knows about showers. And, doesn't eat stinky food, while they're on the plane. And so God puts me next to this beautiful lady, And so as it is, you make small talk, and she says, so what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I pastor a church in Racine, Wisconsin, just south of Milwaukee. Oh, I know where that is. We have a home just outside of Sheboygan. I said, really, where are you coming from? She said, well, I'm coming from California. My husband is a movie producer, and we have another home in Sheboygan. We just love that area. And then she starts crying. And I said, why? She said, I just had a kidney transplant, and it's not taking. And I just found out that my husband is having an affair. She said, I don't know if I can handle anymore. And I remember just grabbing her hand and saying, you need Jesus. I'm telling you, the power of God fell in that plane. It was the Yitzhak oil. It was the purest. It was the best oil. And the tears streaming down my face, and the tears streaming down her face. And there were guys that went with us on this coalition that were around us, and all of a sudden, everybody's standing up and praying, And our district superintendent was sitting behind me, and I said, this man is going to be preaching in Sheboygan tomorrow morning. You need to go to his church. And she said, I will. So we didn't see Bush. We didn't accomplish what we expected to accomplish on our trip to Washington, D.C. There was detours and there was inconveniences. But we were on God's plan, folks. I would rather have my hip healed. No, I'm sorry. We're going to detour you through the office of a doctor who really, his heart has been longing for something more. I want God to set up more appointments in this church. Hallelujah. Not out of duress, but out of an answer of a pure, motivated heart in order to see somebody else come to this wonderful truth. Hallelujah. And those people will hold you in higher esteem than anybody else in this world. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, why? Would you stand with me? Would you consider doing this? Would you consider tomorrow morning when you get up that would just bend a knee and say, God, would you lead me to somebody? There's a lot of prayers that we pray that perhaps God would choose not to answer, maybe not right now. But that is one prayer that God wants to respond to. I want to be in church. I want to be a part of this movement of Pentecost. But I got to take it beyond this building. And I really believe, that what God will do is he will somehow direct us to somebody
they'll probably ask you instead of having to force yourself on them. And then it becomes so natural, and you're going to feel a joy and a revival and a refreshing in your life that perhaps you haven't felt in a long, long time. God so desperately wants to bring revival to this church, but he has to have revivalists in order to do it. And in the process, there's going to be these rewards for us. Hallelujah. You have the antidote to a dying world. But we have to get it to someone. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?